And I'm getting old. So they're so small I can't read them. Anybody been there? I don't need that. Sit down. Sit down. Cece come up to me a while ago and she says, I stuck my hand out to shake her hand and she done this. I'm like, I don't care if I shake your hand or not. You know, it doesn't matter to me. And she said, don't you remember that when we were kids? I'm like, we're not the same age. Is everybody all right? I mean, I'd have to call my grandparents or something to kind of get in on that deal. I'm not real sure about that. But anyhow, she said, don't you remember that when we were kids? No, I don't remember that one. Hey, but anyhow, I have fun cutting up with Miss Cece, and I appreciate her. And she's been here. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 13. And I'm just kidding. She's been here the whole time. I appreciate her and love her very much. Luke chapter number 13 is where we'll find our text this morning. And we'll read the first 9 verses or so of the chapter and take our text from there. Some good singing this morning, choir. And I am thankful. I'm sorry I changed it up on you, Jake, but you did a good job with it. I'm telling you, every song we sung just kind of went with my thoughts on the sermon this morning, and I hope and pray it'll be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you this morning as we look at a message from our Savior this morning. I'm just going to get to expound on it a little bit and but try to help you understand it a little bit better, but it was one that he preached, and so we'll go with that, all right? Verse number 1, have you found Luke chapter number 13? All right, verse number 1, if you go back into chapter number 12, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, but there was other folks that were there during all of this. And as we come to chapter number 13, these men, they're not identified. More than likely, they were Pharisees or at least the religious crowd. So when the Bible says there was present at this season, or at that season some, more than likely it was either the religious crowd, because we're not talking about the disciples, as we know he was in conversation and was addressing them in chapter 12, but more than likely it was a religious crowd that had gathered themselves together with the disciples and were following Jesus. And so at this point in chapter number 13 and verse number 1, they come to Jesus bring a scenario to him, if you will, and this is what he will address in the first 9 verses or so, first 10 or 9 verses, all right? So there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So understand this, Jesus still has a time to go before his day with Pilate, but these that were in the crowd, they were letting Jesus know, in case he may have missed it, that something had taken place with Galileans and Pilate had mingled their blood with sacrifices. In other words, whatever had taken place, and we don't have a history of it. You can do study all you want to, and you're not going to find this exact scenario or situation. But we know from the character and the tendencies of Pilate that this was something that very well took place and could have taken place with Pilate, but apparently these religious people, these Galileans who were going to make sacrifice, were murdered by Pilate, or either he had them murdered, of course, by his army and his soldiers. And so they were present, and they told Jesus about it. They said, hey, they told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And I want you to listen, if you will, to the response that Jesus gives. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? So Jesus in answering them, I believe he's given us an insight into the heart of their question. Okay? So they said, hey, don't you know about the Galileans whose blood was mingled, who Pilate mingled their blood with their sacrifices? And Jesus says, oh, and so you think that they were worse sinners than everybody else because this happened to them? In other words, they had the mindset, as many do in the church, that when something bad happens to someone, that it's God punishing them or for them being bad. Somebody help me. Right? And so we got that mindset that goes into church all the time. If something don't work out the way something should with somebody or something happens in somebody's life, all of a sudden we tend to look and say, whose sin was it, Lord, that caused, y'all remember when they asked Jesus that? Whose sin? Was it his mother's sin, his father's sin that caused him to be blind? Y'all remember that? We tend to look at something that's happened to somebody and say, oh, they must have been real bad. Is everybody all right? So Jesus says, hey, you suppose that they're worse than all sinners? In other words, let me say it like this. Jesus said, they ain't no worse than y'all are. They were no more deserving than you are. All right, verse number 3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, here's something crazy. You have to do some history, but everybody that was here that heard this preached, that lived in Jerusalem, they went through this same. He said, you'll likewise perish. Y'all see that? Shall all likewise perish? When they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Is everybody all right? So Jesus was speaking into the future here, but he says, hey, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So then Jesus gives them a scenario. So they said, hey, do you know about this religious crowd that was going to worship or was going to sacrifice and Pilate killed them? And Jesus said, you suppose they were worse sinners than you are? And then he says this, he says, oh, what about in Siloam? He says, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? So we have two scenarios. We have one where a man, Pilate, gives an order and kills the Galileans that are going to worship. We have another story that Jesus brings up. And he says that these people, 18 people, are just going about their day and a tower fell. And all 18 of them died. It wasn't because a bad person done it. It wasn't because it just was. Can I say it this way and nobody get upset? Their time. I think we'd all be wise to understand that you have a time. Hey, I need to see. Y'all got to help me now. We all got a time. Say, well, preacher, I'm not going to go out there and chance my time. You don't have to. But you're not going to die 1 minute before God wants you to or 1 minute after God wants you to. You got a time. You have a time. Now, you may be maimed when you die because you're dumb and out there trying stupid things. Is everybody all right? But you won't die 1 minute before the date God has for you to die. Now, I need somebody. Y'all got to help me right here because we live in a day and time where everybody's running around worrying to death about whether or not they're going to live or die. When God calls you home, listen, if you saved, somebody ought to rejoice right here. It's going to be a lot better place there than we are here. I'm not asking to go. I'm not in a hurry to go, but I am not worried about going. Jesus said, hey, what about these 18? They wasn't doing anything. They wasn't religious. To our knowledge, they wasn't religious. Here they are probably at the Pool of Siloam. And this tower falls on them. Jesus says, I tell you, verse number 5, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus is letting them know there's a day, there's a death date for all of us. Y'all got to help me right here. There's a time for all of us. Your day could be up. Somebody else, some pilot may determine what day that you're attacked and you're killed or something else may determine your death date, but we all gonna die. There's all going, y'all got to stay with me if you will. Just bear through some of this, but every one of us is going to face a day where our life will end. Unless the rapture takes place and we get up out of here, then you and I are going to face death. And Jesus put the emphasis on what we do while we're alive rather than at death. Unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now this passage of scripture, he is talking to the nation of Israel, and we're not going to get into that. Well, we will get into that just to let you know by interpretation. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He gives them a parable. Starting here in verse number 6. And we're going to study and we're going to look at this parable. We see in verse number 6, he says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I'm going to pray and we're going to go back to this parable and we're going to take a look at it for just a few moments. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that now, Lord, that as we've already enjoyed your presence in our services, Lord, as we've already enjoyed the singing, Lord, I pray that it's prepared our heart for what we're here this morning. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we will leave out of here, Lord, refreshed, renewed, encouraged, and Lord, we'll leave out of here on fire for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we look at the setting this parable spoke at, and we see that these men were challenging Jesus. We see they were challenging him because of the answer that he gave to them. He gave them an answer as if they were asking something arrogantly. Hey, what about these people or what about those? And he says, suppose you that you're any different than they are. Now, he didn't say it in those exact words. That's my terminology. But that's what I want you and I to hear this morning is this. Do you suppose that they were any different than you and I were? They deserved any less or any more than you and I deserve. Do we suppose that? Somebody help me out. Absolutely not. We don't deserve that. The fact that you and I got up and breathed this morning is the grace of God that we pray. Y'all got to help me now. Y'all got to get into it. Y'all got to get where you need to be spiritually to understand that, hey, the fact that you're in this church this morning is the grace of God. The fact that you're breathing this morning is the grace of God. If you can see this morning, it's the grace of God. If you can hear this morning, it's the grace of God. If you can walk this morning, it's the grace of God. You need to understand that anything that you and I have is the grace of God in our life. We don't deserve it, ain't it? We don't deserve any of it. Jesus said, just because you're religious don't make you deserving of missing out on trouble and tragedy in your life. So we see the setting. We see the present tragedy. We see their arrogance and we see the reality. The reality is, and that could have happened to any one of us. Truth be known, we're living in a world today where it ain't going to be long with the way this country is going before our religious freedoms are going to be gone. And nobody will bat an eye to it. So to think for 1 minute that we're any different than anybody else out there, we're not. We do have the blessings of God. I praise the Lord that we can meet on a Sunday morning. We can open our Bibles on a Sunday morning. We can say, thus saith the Lord, on a Sunday morning, but we're not entitled to it. We don't deserve it. So we see the setting. Then we see the story. We see the parable. We see the characters of it. Let's break down the story just for a few moments. In this parable, we see a certain man, a man that had a fig tree in his vineyard. This man owns the vineyard. This man, by the way, in the story and in the parable is God. Is everybody all right? This vineyard is Israel. This fig tree in this vineyard is Israel. And so we have God, the owner, the man, the certain man that owns the vineyard and the fig tree that is therein. And then we find the dresser. We find the dresser in this parable, and that is in verse number 7. And the dresser is Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us in the parable that Jesus is given here, he's saying that God has a vineyard. He has a fig tree in that vineyard, and he's come 3 years. He's come seeking fruit from that fig tree, and he has found none. And so he makes a decision to cut it down, to do away with it, to just be done with it. Now, when we look at this parable, you can take that thing back. You can take it back to the nation of Israel for 3 years now. John the Baptist and Jesus, up until this point, 3 years, have been ministering in miracles and showing that the Messiah would come, and yet they had not responded by repentance. They were still living off the Mosaic law. Am I lost anybody? Is everybody still with me? And so they were still trying to work their way to heaven. They had got in a works base. This is what the whole religious crowd was. You go look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them. It was all work based. And to say that that doesn't happen today would be a lie. Many churches today, if you don't dress right, if you don't put on a suit and tie, if you don't wear a white shirt, if you don't wear a tie, if you got hair on your face, if you got all these other things, how you ain't a Christian, if you got long hair and you a man, if you got an earring and you a man, if you a woman and you wearing this or you're wearing that, or you don't have this on or you don't have that on, it's constantly rule after rule after rules. People, we need them. We want rules. It's amazing to me how you and I are such against rules, but yet you and I refuse to live without them. We want rules. We want rules in our, we don't want rules out there that says we can't go but so fast, but we want rules in the church to tell us that we can go to heaven. Y'all gotta help me. I'm as serious as I can be. If somebody cusses, they ain't saved. Whose rule was that? Was that your rule? Well, if somebody drinks, they ain't saved. Well, if somebody does this, they ain't saved. Well, if somebody does that, they ain't saved. So we have a list of rules that we got to check off. And if they miss any of them rules, they ain't saved. I know I'm right. Y'all just ain't figured it out yet, all right? Y'all ain't admitted to it yet. Y'all still like them folks back there in verse number 1 and all them other guys that's thinking everybody else is a worse sinner than you are. Well, I don't drink. I'm mighty proud of you. I'm proud of you boasting of that. Don't let your pride get in the way. Everybody all right? We've all got issues, right? Come on, y'all, help me now. We all have issues. And here, they had issues. They were basing everything off of works. They refused to let go of the Mosaic law and embrace the coming Messiah. They refused to repent of their evilness because they were still trying to follow all the rules. I'm going to get this in or we ain't going anywhere, all right? So they had a set of rules, and as long as they did the set of rules, they were okay. As long as I check this box off, then I'm okay. As long as I don't cuss, I'm okay. As long as I don't do this, I'm okay. As long as I don't do that, I'm okay. But the fact is they refuse to really look at themselves. And a lot of people are in that same place. They come into church, they dress right, they talk right, they act right when they're in front of everybody else. But in their heart, they're not right. I need somebody to, hey, I'm raising my hand, y'all. I'm that way. More times than I care to admit, I'm that way. Amen. I know how to act. Man, hey, you put me in a church, you put me in a church that wear out all they wear is a suit and a tie. And man, I can dress up. I can do it. Man, I can, Amen, brother. Amen. But then you put me in a biker bar and I'd be just as happy in there. I could be myself and just, is everybody all right? I mean, I got that. I know how to operate with those who I'm around. Now you may call it a hypocrite, but Paul said it like this. He said, I have become all things to all men that I might win some. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some preachers out there that won't never get a chance to talk to a biker. And there's some people out there that I won't ever get a chance to talk to either. That's probably a good thing, all right? But here's the thing. When we get so wrapped up in rules, then we miss out on who we really are. Man, this thing's good to me. I don't care if it's good to y'all or not. They got a set of rules, and they got a list of things that they got to go by, and they're meeting their little list, which is in their mind, but they're alleviating everything else. They're saying, you know what? I don't smoke a cigarette, so I'm good. But yet they full of pride. They say, I don't drink a beer, but they're envious. They're covetous. Jesus said it like this. He said, you heard old times, if a man commit adultery with a woman, it is a sin. He said, but I say unto you that if a man looks upon a woman with lust in his eyes after her, he's committed a sin with her already. He's committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so that list, while you may be able to check off that list, that doesn't mean it ain't going on in your heart. He talked about murder that way. He said, but if you look at your brother and you won't murder your brother. He said, you've committed murder in your heart. It was to Jesus. Because God sees on the, y'all say it with me, God sees on the, where man sees on the outside, God sees on the, and so God came looking for this fruit. Now this is good. Y'all don't miss this, all right? You remember that Jesus, there's one parable in the Bible, or not one parable, but one story in the Bible where Jesus looked across the field and he seen a fig tree and it looked like that it would bear fruit. And you remember he got over there to it and there was no figs on it, even though it was a season and even though it looked like it should have fruit, it did not, and Jesus cursed that fig tree. Does everybody remember that? So just to have the appearance of having fruit, woo! I need somebody to help me. Just to have the appearance of having fruit, we have a story in the Bible where Jesus curses that. Can I say this? There's a lot of folks that looks like they got fruit, but they are bare. Hey, man, this is good. Y'all please stay with me this morning. If it ain't good to you or anything else, I'll tell you about another church you can go to. Okay? Jesus, here the vineyard owner, which is God, he comes and he inspects what is in his vineyard. Israel was this fig tree. And God said, I've come 3 years. I've come looking for fruit, and for 3 years, I have found no fruit. He said, cut the tree down. I'm done with it. And Jesus said, hold on a minute. Y'all better help me. Amen. Jesus said, hold on a minute. Give me one more year. Amen. Give me a little bit of time. I'll dig a little bit more around it. I'll clean it up a little bit more around it. I'll put some things in it that'll help it to grow. I'll fertilize it. I'll put some nutrients in it. I'll do some things. Just give it a little bit of time. And after 1 year, after me doing all this and pouring myself into it, if it has not bear fruit, then you do it as you will. And so the parable is about Israel, and Israel being that tree that isn't bearing fruit. But I can say this. Is everybody all right? How's the Bible? How is it relevant today? That tree was just one tree in the vineyard. And that, hey, not only does it apply to Israel, but it applies to... And there's been times in my life, Jesse. Everybody with me? There's been times in my life where I've not bared fruit. I'm thankful for the long suffering and the patience of God. Because don't get all upset at God for wanting to chop it down. He has every right to chop it down. After he's put into it, poured into it for 3 years, and nothing comes of it, he has every right to expect fruit out of me. He has every right. has every right to expect fruit out of me. What all he's done in my life and what he's, we sing about it, we raise our hands, we shout, and we carry on about it, but God has every right to demand fruit out of mine in your life. And the problem, I think, with a lot of us is that we're hung up on our to-do list and we don't realize that there's a lot more to be done. We got a list of things that we think makes us look good to everybody else in the church, makes us look good to Christians, but to God, it is like that fig tree that had an appearance of having fruit, but had none. Y'all stay with me? And so we see the story, we see the setting, we see the story, we see the survey, we see the examination, God has a right to demand fruit, we see the expectation, God expects fruit in mine and your life. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I need somebody to help me. Hey, my Sunday school class, we were talking about this morning. We were in the love chapter. Y'all want to know what the love chapter is? Come to Sunday school next Sunday, all right? The love chapter. We in the love chapter. We found out that charity or love never faileth. It's something that'll be here throughout time. Why? Because the Bible says God is love. Love is of God, and God is love. God being an eternal being, God, love will always be here with us. But you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love in an individual. That means when I get saved, when I repent and I return from my sin and I turn to Jesus according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit indwells me, and one of the fruits of having the Holy Spirit living inside of me is love. It's love. See, I need somebody to help me. I don't get to be Mr. Grouchy after I get saved. I don't get to be Mr. Puffed Up. We going to church this morning. Look at her. I need some help. Don't act like, hey, listen, don't put your head down. We know that you already did this morning, all right? Look at him. Oh, here's a good one. Hey, you in my seat. I need somebody circling around them like sharks. Your wife says, well, where are we going to sit? Well, I don't know, but somebody's sitting in our seat. Everybody all right? We don't have assigned seats around here. If anybody tells you different, come see me. I'll throw them out of their seat. I need somebody to help me. Who does he think he is? Saying he'll throw me out. I'd like to see him throw me out. Don't tempt me. Don't try me. Because while I have love, I also have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But a fruit of the Spirit in my life is love. How about this one? Joy. That means in me, if the Holy Spirit is living in me, I'm to have love and I'm to have joy. That doesn't mean I'm going to be happy about everything. I need somebody to help me. Everything in life ain't going to make you happy. If you think that you're going to live in a perfect world where everybody's happy and everything's going to make you happy, you are wrong. All right? But I am to have joy. What is the joy? Joy is knowing Christ. I have the Lord. I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me. God is in me. That should bring joy. I had somebody this week, they're talking about, you ain't no proof that there's going to be a rapture. The Bible tells us before the tribulation period, they're talking about Christians going to go through the tribulation period. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be taken away. He that let shall be taken away. He that when he goes, guess who's going with him? Those that he is in. Is everybody all right? I'm not going through the tribulation period, but I will tell you this. You can get saved if you go through it, maybe. We see by the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. How about this one? Peace. Man, if you're always at quarrel, if you're always looking for a fight, I need somebody to help me. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering. That's patience. How many of y'all working on that one? Y'all better raise your hands. Ain't none of y'all got patience. Ain't none of y'all got there. How about gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness? I know I can work on all them. Can you work on all them? How about temperance? That's self-control. Against such there is no law. That is the fruit of the Spirit. I believe those are some of the fruit that God looks for when He comes and He examines our life. Do you have it in you? But here's what I want to get to this morning. We see the examine or the setting. We see the story. We see the survey. But this is what I call this one, the second chance. We see a second chance. Because while I'm not perfect, and everybody knows that I'm not perfect, I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't give up on us. I'm not saying that God gave up on us. He has every right to examine us and to demand fruit out of us. But I'm thankful for a Savior that intercedes in our lives and says, God, just give me a little bit more time. God, just give me one more year. God, let me do some things with Him. Let me put some things into Him. If you're still not satisfied after a year, then you can do what you will, but God, I need somebody to help me. I'm thankful He hasn't given up on me. Man, when Jackson was singing that song, He never gave up on me. I was thinking about this sermon, and I was thinking about how many times I wonder God come by and looked at Robbie in that vineyard and said, just cut it down. It ain't worth it anymore. I done put time into Him. I've done this for Him. I've done that for Him. And He's still not producing the fruit or the amount of fruit that I believe that He should. Just go ahead. Why cumbereth the ground? Why keep on messing with Him? And Jesus said, because I love Him. Because He's mine. Give me a little bit more time with Him. Hey, let me see a second chance. This morning, I need somebody to hear me this morning. You may not be perfect. Let me go ahead let me stop and say this. You are not perfect. Yeah, don't kid yourself or anybody around you. You aren't perfect. You've messed up. Lord knows I messed up. Man, we go into our life over and over again and see how we have disappointed God. Listen, if I've disappointed myself, I imagine there's a million times I've disappointed God. These things that I've done that I thought was all right, only to find out that I was wrong in doing them. And is everybody all right? Ain't no telling how many times God sat up there in heaven just shaking His head going, I can't believe I'm wasting my time with Him. But I'm thankful for an interceder, the dresser, and said, don't give up on Him yet. Give me a little bit more time. I put a little bit more work into Him. Put a little bit more scripture into Him. Put a little bit more love into Him. Put a little more people in His life that'll help Him. I need somebody to help me. That vineyard, that dresser in that vineyard, man, he has to cut away those things that don't need to be on that vine. He has to cut those things away that is drawing too much energy and drawing too many nutrients from that vine and keeping that vine from growing and being healthy. And so there's some things that Jesus has to cut out of my life. There's some things that He has to remove so that I can bear more fruit. They ain't easy and they really ain't nothing bad about them. Sometimes you just have to go in there and trim up some good looking leaves so that you can get more nutrients to the other part of the vine. Is everybody all right? And sometimes God just has to remove some things out of our life so that we can produce more fruit. Sometimes He has to put more into us, whether it be fertilizer or whether it be more time and preparation, soil preparation, getting the weeds out around us, getting us in an environment where you and I can grow, getting us water. I'm talking about that living water that He talked about in John chapter number 4, putting that water into you and I so that we can grow and that we can mature and that we can bear fruit. But He says, we're worth it. He said, don't cut it down yet. Somebody ought to thank God this morning that He ain't cut us down yet. Somebody ought to thank God that He never gave up on me. He never gave up on me. This is my testimony. Whoa. I sang it. Did I say it like Jackson? Whoa. Whoa. He never gave up on me. This morning, if you don't get nothing else out of this sermon, get this. God ain't gave up on you. Jesus over there saying, hey, give me a little bit more time. I'm working. Masterpiece takes time. Lord, let me just be honest, God. It probably ain't going to be a masterpiece when I get done. But I'm working. I'm working. It's going to be a lot better than it started off. It may not be perfect, but it'll be a lot better when I start it off. Just give me some time. God puts more and more into us this morning. This morning, you get a second chance. I hope I didn't beat you down too bad in the front of this sermon, letting you know that all of us, you can't have no your little list. Your little list ain't going to work. It don't matter how good your list is. There's always something that you'll leave off your list. We like to put a list up and like to have a list for everybody else, but we'll avoid the things that we struggle with on our list. All right? I need somebody to help me. I like to work out. We'll get in there. We'll get to working out. And, I hurt my shoulder Memorial Day, Sheldon. I hurt my shoulder Memorial Day. And anyhow, I've worked my shoulder out 3 times since Memorial Day. You know why? Because we won't do something that hurts. Y'all better hear me. Boy, we'll work everything else, but we'll avoid that thing that hurts us. And so since Memorial Day weekend, I hadn't worked them shoulders but maybe about 3 times. And when I work them real light. I don't get in there, and I ain't trying to aggravate that thing because, hey, that thing was hurt. Is everybody all right? I'm just saying we do the same thing with sin. When that sin that we don't want to get rid of, we work it real light. No matter if we work it at all. Because to address it means that we're going to have to hurt a little bit. We're going to have to push through some things. Y'all got to help me. And we do the same thing. So your list ain't going to work. Your list ain't going to work. You got to really look at yourself. Know that God, you are a work in progress and God's working on you. Is everybody all right? Amen. Y'all ready for this? And I'm done. Jesus said this, that he was a vine. We're the branches. And he said, apart from me, you can bear no fruit. So take your list. I need a list. Somebody give me a list. Who's got a list? Somebody got a list? Anybody got a list? Give me a piece of paper. Somebody ain't got snot on it. Take your list. Thank you. We'll pick it back up. I ain't going to throw it. I won't mess it up. Maybe. Take your list. Everybody with me? Get hooked up to him. See, if we get attached to him and get close to him, the rest of that stuff will work itself out because hooked up to him is the only way that we can bear fruit. We can't bear fruit with a list. We got to be hooked up to him. Apart from me, you can bear no fruit. So we need to get hooked up this morning. She's coming to the piano. You're coming to the altar because a lot of you got hit real hard back in the first part of the sermon. And some of you, over a period of time, you've adjusted to what I've been talking about. Now you realize where you're at in this sermon. I'm thankful that God gives us a second chance to produce fruit. Because ultimately, God is going to come again. And he's going to look for that fruit. And if you're not bearing fruit, according to the Bible right here, Jesus said, hey, if after I've done all this and they're not bearing fruit, then you can cut it down then. Do it as you will. So there's a time God's going to come back around. He's going to be looking for that fruit. So how am I going to produce fruit? It ain't going to be in a list. It's going to be because I'm hooked up with him. The closer I get to him, the more fruit that will be bare, that I'll bear in my life. But don't forget, Jesus started this whole thing off because they was asking him about some events that took place around him. And Jesus said this to them, suppose ye that they're worse than you are, except ye repent ye shall all likewise perish. Heads bowed and eyes closed with me. An invitation this morning for you to come and get saved. I don't know your situation, but God does. I'm not inspecting your fruit. I'm not inspecting your tree. But God is. And this morning, I wonder if you'd be honest with me and honest with the Lord this morning. Nobody's looking around, it's just me. But has there ever been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin and trusted Christ as your Savior? If nobody looking around with heads bowed, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's moving. If you were to die where you're sitting at this morning, do you know where you'd go? Do you know whether you'd go to heaven or hell? If you say this morning, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die right now," would you pray for me? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. I ain't asking you to do nothing else. Just let me know how to end the service. "Preacher, I'm not sure." Is there anybody like that this morning? Thank you. You can put your head down. Is there anybody else? Thank you for being honest. So difficult for us to be honest. I'm asking you. I won't have to answer for you. This is something you're going to have to answer for. Do you know? If not, I want you to make eye contact with me. I'll let you put your head right back down. I just want to know how to end the service. Be honest with me. "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." Is there anybody else? Okay, you can put your head down. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. All right, I've had a couple look up at me. Listen, I want you to pray with me right now. I want all the Christians in the building praying right now. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, as been a few in the church. It's acknowledged their need of salvation. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you continue to work. God, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, give us understanding. Lord, give us courage this morning. Lord, I pray today we leave out of here different than we walked in. God, I pray for these individuals right now. Lord, everything in the world is going to fight this decision. Pride is going to fight it. Lord, what somebody else may think about it is going to fight it. God, I pray right now. God, you give courage and strength. Lord, that they may make a decision for you. A decision that only they can make. Lord, for a relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Head still bowed, and eyes